Well, some pretty nice news for one of the original members of the Temptations. Otis Williams, or Dr. Otis Williams, had a street named after him, and not just any street, but the street on the corner where he grew up. Wisconsin and Santa Clara is now called Otis C. Williams Street. And Otis Williams is on the program, so we can congratulate him.
Yeah.
Hey, Otis.
All right.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Did you ever think when you were growing up on Wisconsin Street that it would have your name on it?
Oh, see, Wisconsin Street was where I bought my first home back there in the 70s and the 60s. But no, even when I lived on Wisconsin, I never would imagine that it would lead to me at one time or sometime me getting my street or the street named after me. So I thank God for the blessings.
Wow.
Well, you would have paid more for the house if it was actually already named
it again.
For
you. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I guess there's an upswing to that, you know, because somebody said the same thing. It's your oldest one. That's your house, you know, and then you got more for us. The price went up. All I know, it was a wonderful house that we lived in, my wife and I. And then from there, we moved to a second home out in Southfield, Michigan.
Mm. When the years that you were living on Wisconsin Street, were those the early years of the Temptations?
Yeah, that's when the classic Temptations, you know, was together. And then shortly after David left, we got Dennis Edwards. So, yeah, wow. We were there at that time. Yeah,
so, we can say that at least some of the Temptations songs were either being written, rehearsed, or hummed on Otis C. Williams Street in that house at 17376 Wisconsin Street.
Well, Norman would bring the tracks by and let me hear it, what he had written. Speaking of Norman Whitfield.
Yeah.
And he would bring the tracks by and let me hear it. And then later on with the guys, we'd meet up at the studio, and then we would, you know, start putting it the voices on.
Yeah. Have you ever met the people that are in the house now when you were here over the weekend?
No. I thought about that, but, you know, I didn't want to, you know.
Just go in and sit in the living room.
Go in and see if they've redecorated.
And they go, you're a Temptation, that,
I think somebody told them that I had owned the home. And they said, oh, wow, really? I said, yeah, I guess we by now I found out that was my first home.
Well, when you sold it, did the people that you sold it to know that you were a member of the Temptations? Did it help you get a good price?
Oh, yeah. Everything was smooth. Yeah, and they knew. And I don't know if they're still there because, you know, that was done. I moved out of that house like 68, 69, and then I bought my second house out in Southfield, and I was in it until I moved, and I sold it in 74 and moved on out here in L.A. Been here
Otis, I got to tell you, it's such an honor to talk with you. You're talking about the late 60s, and I'm thinking about the Temptations at that time, going into things like Cloud Nine in 1969, that era. When Norman Whitfield was turning out songs like that, how did the group feel about, going kind of a transformation into more of a social commentary songs? I know Berry Gordy wasn't too crazy about it, was he?
Well, truth be told, it was myself that came up with the concept at first. How it happened, Kenny Gamble of Gamble and Hub, him and I were in New York City, and we were talking. Mm-hmm. And we heard Sly and the Family Stone, you know, with the dance to the music.
Right.
So it cut into our conversation. I said, who in the heck is that? And I said, that's different. And when they did that, doom, 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 I said, I like that. So flew back to Detroit, and I said, hey, Norman, there's a group out called Sly and the Family Stone. They got something that I think we should try. At first, Norman didn't want to do. Oh, man, we ain't going to do stuff like that. Well, the Temps went out of town, came back in town. Norman had recorded the track to Cloud Nine. That was our first Grammy. And, Barry, from my manager, he said that Barry couldn't understand it. He didn't necessarily like that because he thought we were talking about drugs. But we weren't. You know, we wasn't saying that. You know, Cloud Nine, that's been a saying that's been around a long time. Boy, this woman make me feel like I'm on Cloud Nine. you know, it was that kind of thing.
Well, but yeah, but there's depressed and downhearted. I took to cloud nine. I thought it was about drugs when I was a kid.
Yeah.
No, Norman and Barry didn't do any drugs. So they were just writing, I guess, from that sensibility. But they didn't do no drugs, and so. Hey,
but cloud
what can
nine
I tell
is
what,
so. What, this is revelatory to me. So when you say, "I'm cloud nine, where you're as free as you want to be," cloud nine, there's no all the rest of that stuff. That's not about being on drugs. So what is it about?
Well, we just sung a song. Norman wrote it, and we didn't question it.
Okay.
What can I say? We just wanted to keep. We wanted to try something different because we came up with a mild hit called "Please Return Your Love."
Yep.
And one of the strengths of the Temptations is that we've always been adventuresome of doing other things, you know, like we ran our course with the psychedelic thing, and then we got tired of that, and we told Norma we wanted to go back to the sweet ballads and the Ain't Too Proud. And that's how just my imagination came about.
Yeah,
but Norma
Whitfall
and Barry Strong, they wrote what I guess they considered Cloud Nine.
Yeah. Well, they didn't steer you wrong.
No.
I mean, every one of those songs that you mentioned brings back incredible memories, and I was happy to see that all the current members of the Temptations were there for your street naming ceremony.
I'm going to drive down Wisconsin this afternoon, Otis, just in your memory.
You know what? I went there yesterday, and people sitting out on the porch. So when we got out of the car, and I took another picture of me pointing up at the sign, and the lady that was sitting out on the porch, she got up. Well, first she said, "Well, you know, you have to be careful pulling up on people like that."
So things haven't changed that much.
And so she went into the house. So I'm watching her go into the house, and I said, "Okay, now let's see where this goes." So she went in the house, and she came back out with her husband, and they were saying, "Man, people have been coming by the street to see your name and what have you," and you know, so it was all in fun.
I'm glad she came back out with her husband and not with a gun.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Come out
we are too.
Yeah, we are too. Yeah. I thought maybe those people living on the streets are, "Yo, great, thanks, Otis. Now we got to change our mailing address."
Hold on a second, Otis.
Well, you never know. You never can tell because, like I said, it's a new revelation. Even for me, because I never would imagine that a street would be.
Well, it's well earned. It's well earned.
So great.
And we're happy for you, and we're always so happy to talk to you, Otis. And we just wish you, you know, another 100 years of good health, and keeping those Temptations memories alive. Thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Well, thank you, and my pleasure talking with you guys. I just got off the plane and came home. So
wonderful. Thank you.
All right,
you're
Otis
welcome.
Williams.
You're welcome.
From the Temptations, and now from the city of Detroit, Wisconsin, and Santa Clara,
I'm going
to see William Street. Not bad, not bad.
Oh.
It's 760 WJR.